Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Today, we have a very, very special episode for you. Our special guest is Mahisha Dillinger, and she is an entrepreneur. She is the star of Mind Your Own Business with Mahisha on OWN. She is the CEO and founder of Curls. She is a wife, a mother, and an absolute superstar. Mahisha, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We're excited. And so I just want to launch into the questions so we get into the meat of it. What made you decide to strike out on your own as an entrepreneur? And how did you get the courage to actually start your own business?
Well, I started my own business and launched out on my entrepreneurial journey due to my experience in corporate America. I had been left sized, right sized, downsized, ostracized, everything you can imagine in corporate. I experienced the most horrific case of racism under one manager in one department during my tenure there.
Oh, no.
And it was enough to shake me to go, okay, I thought I wanted to retire at Intel. I was a super proud employee to have been employed there and really thought I was going to rise at corporate ranks and make my mark. And that was what I set out to do. But when I saw that I was instantly met with resistance after I transitioned to my full-time gig there, I thought, yeah, this is not going to work for me. I don't like someone holding my financial like destiny in the palm of their hands at all, like ever. Yeah. So that's what pushed me and gave me the gumption to try. And so I did strike out and launched on a small part-time basis, Curls. You know, I was doing it half day and then I would work, but I wound up leaving Intel Corporation to go to work for Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, which gave me a more flexible day. And that enabled me to actually get all my doctors seen and my appointments with my doctor seen by noon, all my required appointments by noon, and then I would come home and work on Curls. So that gave me the flexibility to do that, but also enabled me to keep money into the family versus having to fund everything out of the pocket. So every dollar that Curls made was reinvested back into Curls. Mm-hmm. And then I kept my day job to just keep the finances coming through and not, I didn't take a salary for the first 3 years.
That's amazing. And so yeah. I just have to ask Mahisha about a point you brought up because so many Black women face this in the workplace. It happens to them and they're shocked. They don't know what to do or where to turn. Mm. Can you tell us a bit, as much as you're comfortable with, what happened?
Sure. And it's interesting how that happened. I'd been with Intel for, I think, 5 years by then. I left about year 8. So I had seen a lot of different managers because they like you to change jobs every 18 months. That's Intel's thing. So you can get the full Intel experience. So I had a host of amazing managers before this one person. But so I want to say that because not everyone at Intel was horrible. But when I went into this position, I instantly saw that this man just had disdain for me. Like he would never look me in my eyes, right? He was very dismissive of me in a passive aggressive way. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. I saw he was very amiable with my colleagues. And we were in marketing, so it was mostly women. I think it was all women in that department, except for him.
Right.
So it wasn't a female thing. It wasn't a female-male thing. I know that. And I was the only Black woman of color in the department. Okay, so we can check off the boxes. So anyway, we go through the process of me working and doing my thing. I was the first one in, last one out. I was on many different boards that I was involved with outside of my day-to-day job because I wanted to make sure that I was visible, right? So I was visible to the organization. So I get a corrective action plan and he tells me that in 6 months, you know, he'll see how I do, but that the path was to release me. And I instantly was on the flight crying in that room, embarrassed, sad, stressed. I was a single parent.
Yeah.
And that was how he came about it. But, you know, it was very, he undercut me because I knew my experience was and my performance wasn't that. Because I wound up going to another department and when he left and I winded up getting that raise.
Of course.
From my all my deliverables and my actions and my work while I was under him. So it was a full circle moment. because they saw that I was actually a stellar employee. But that was my full circle moment. But yeah, it was quite interesting and a wake up call.
And so, Mahisha, that leads me to the next question, because so many women, especially for Black women, where it's so difficult to secure the funding that they need to start up, you know, especially as a Black woman in business. I'm just wondering if you can tell us about your experience with that and kind of how you navigated that and how you started your business.
Yes, you know, that's actually very true. Women of color and people of color overall just have a much harder time acquiring capital, lines of credits, investors. It's just definitely a different ballgame for us. We don't have the same advantages, the same access, the same information to do so. And I just tried to get a small business loan. And despite having exceptional personal credit, I cannot get a small business loan to save my life. So that was discouraging. But I didn't let that stop me. What I did is I just used my personal savings and I started much smaller, on a much smaller scale. So I did that on I used about $30,000 and started small, did the basics like the website, the first four products developed by the chemist, the packaging, the bottles, the labels, and the first purchase order. So yeah, that's how I started.
What advice would you have for women who are starting up to secure that funding? Because I know you mentioned you started small,
yes,
started lean.
So definitely, I do suggest that even if you have the opportunity to get a lot of capital, that you first try to start as lean as possible, because you want to not, I don't suggest or advise going into a lot of debt out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm pessimistic, but because the statistics show that 80% will fail in 5 years. So if we have the knowledge, why not set us up for success and not even more financial burden? At least that's how I feel. I'm very conservative. So
yeah,
I didn't want, and I think it was better that I didn't have that loan, because potentially, not that the business didn't excel, but you know, going in debt free and just growing it with my own finances wind up being more beneficial for me. So I always suggest starting lean, and you know, if you do acquire money, get a small amount. Well, start with the amount to get you going and get some marketing going, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just the basics. Don't go overboard with that. Don't get, you know, 1.5 million. No, you don't need that to start, right? Get the bare bones, what you need to get, depending if it's a product, right? If you need your first purchase order, you know, your inventory, your bottles, your labels, marketing, website, all the things, and maybe enough for 3 months or so. Don't go too heavy.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful advice. So many women, you know, have these questions and are just wondering, how do I start? Where do I turn next? So that's amazing. And so, Mahisha, like, you have your show on OWN, and it's just amazing the type of success that you've had, and that you're able to translate that success to help other women in business. So can you tell us about what it's like to work with entrepreneurs on the show?
Yes, it was quite interesting. It was a great experience. They're all females, all women of color, right? Black females. And they were all in their growth mode, I think. They're all in a growth mode trajectory of their business, looking to just get the guidance that they needed, the assistance they needed, the access, the information, the connections. And it was great to be of a resource to them, assistance to them, to be an asset to them, to help them, you know, get closer to their goals. So that was beautiful.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Is there any one standout moment for you on the show that was memorable for any reason that you could share with us?
Well, yes. I mean, we had a lot of amazing moments, but the one that stands out, that I was interviewed for Yahoo Finance yesterday, and I didn't know they were going to play the clip. And I was like, oh, okay. It was my one moment where I was really hard, right?
Yeah.
On Megan, what's her name? She's from Bad Girls Club. So says it all, right?
Right.
She did her partner extremely dirty, and I came down on her. Her partner was Asian American. I came down on her pretty hard because I, you know, she's portraying Black women the way that people want us to be viewed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, don't be that. So anyway, it was an explosive moment where I was extra hard on her and she started to cry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't repeat the words I said to her, but I willed it in and explained to her why. And that it's important to be the best you can be. You have to face the world representing Black women, and it's a burden for you.
Yes.
Every day you walk out, whatever you do, you're being judged already.
Mm-hmm.
So change the narrative. Please don't continue down this path of Bad Girl Megan.
Right.
So I think that was the most memorable and the one I hear the most from people, that Wow. And there was a lot of comments. You know, some people said I was too hard on her. Mm-hmm. Some people did say that. But a lot of people were like, you know, I'm glad. I hope she got her money back. You know, because she took her partner's money. Never paid her back. So, yeah. So, you know, it was interesting. But I think that was the most memorable because I hope all the other ladies I'm still in touch with, mm-hmm. except for Megan. But I hope that she later thought about it and changed a little bit how she sticks and moves. I'm hoping.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's so amazing because we all have those moments, you know, when, you know, we have to really express how we feel. And there are those moments too where we have to come down hard. And you're absolutely right. I did a podcast interview yesterday with another special guest, and it's for Black History Month as well. And she mentioned the same thing you mentioned, that whole burden that we carry as Black women, that, you know, especially when we have a seat at the table, especially when we're representing, we can't get away from it. It's just there, and we have to carry it, you know, proudly and with ethics and morals, with the strength of our forefathers, and not do things that aren't right. And so I have to ask you this question, Mahisha, because, you know, I wrote in my book about the key pillars of holistic wealth, and one of them is the spiritual side, which I don't get to talk about a lot on the show, and I haven't so far. I just wanted to ask you how that has influenced you in terms of your business so far, in terms of your spiritual background and the way you embrace your faith. Has that had an impact on you and your business?
I know that for sure, positive, because my faith has given me the knowledge and the understanding of about karma and reaping and sowing and doing unto others and being a blessing, and to whom much is given, much is required. So because I have that philosophy already instilled in me, I'm reaping blessings from that because I act on those principles. So I believe that's definitely has been an impact on my business, a positive impact.
So Mahisha, I know that you did the financial identities quiz, and it's funny because readers of my book, Holistic Wealth, came back asking me for more information on that, because in the book, I had stated that it would be great if we could all embrace our own personal financial identities, because I was widowed so young. I was widowed at 31, like 8 weeks after I gave birth to my second child.
Oh.
Yes. And I felt in the aftermath of that, that I had only partially embraced my personal financial identity. And so, you know, I struggled during that period to fully embrace mine. And so when readers came back asking me for more information on that, they wanted to know what their financial identity was, how they could, you know, identify it and more information. That's when I decided to kind of dig deep, create this framework and the quiz for them to be able to identify their own personal financial identity. So I've been on a mission of creating awareness of this, especially for women of color too, so that women feel more confident, you know, in their money decisions and all of that, which is so key. So Mahisha, I know you took the quiz, and thank you so much for taking it. And can you share with us your results and kind of your thoughts?
I am not surprised. I'm minimalist. Wow. Like I said earlier when we were speaking, I'm conservative by nature. So given that I'm conservative and all the questions asking, well, some of the questions one of them was, do you worry about money?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, there's more context here. I don't worry about how much I have, but I worry about how I spend it.
Right.
So I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, well, I wasn't sure, but I said yes.
Yes.
Because I worry about, and maybe not the word worry, but I am concerned with how I spend, right? I'm very much the person that that lives below her means. I spend more, I save more than I spend. Mm-hmm. I don't front for the gram, you know? So I'm not surprised at my results.
Yes. Okay. No, that's so amazing to know. And I have to ask you this before we leave too, in terms of like being a minimalist and your business philosophy, and you mentioned some of it just now, do you see it, you know, in your business decision-making in terms of your spending and things that you invest in for your business?
Yes and no. So, you know, of course, whatever's needed, we take care of, but I'm definitely one that will, I make sure my team understands to keep an eye out for how they spend their budgets mm-hmm. and make sure everything makes sense. Take your budget and use it like it was your own pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yes.
Absolutely. And yes. That's great to know. And so, Mahisha, before we wrap up, any projects on the horizon, anything else you want to tell our audience about the product or anything coming up that we can look out for?
Yes. So we just launched a new subsidiary under the Curls Beauty Brands called Beautyceuticals, where beauty and science mm-hmm. meet. And that's a new skin plus hair collection, the first ever done where you can use skin products for both skin and hair. And it is amazing. All science-backed, amazing ingredients that have clinical data. And it's unique, one of a kind. One of a kind.
Awesome. That sounds amazing. I'm sure for women, you know, that's definitely far more convenient for sure. And so Mahisha, just to end, can you tell the audience where they can find you, your website, social media?
Sure. So Hardest Working Collection, that's for Instagram and .com, curls.biz and curls on Instagram and Facebook. And you can find Mahisha _Dillinger on Instagram.
Okay, perfect. And once again, Mahisha, it was so amazing having you here. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with our audience. I'm sure many, many, many women will find this so helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're most welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, KeishaBlair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to instituteonholisticwealth.com/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to instituteonholisticwealth.com/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning best-selling Holistic Wealth, 32 Life Lessons to Help You Find Purpose, Prosperity, and Happiness.